Morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be here on the Lord's Day to worship God, to praise Him, to spend time looking at some scriptures, some teaching. I'm slightly revisiting something that we have done in the past, with a purpose, really, with a reason behind this, because I want you to imagine this. You've got this coal mine, and you've got a load of coal at the bottom of the mine, and you've got a person goes down to the bottom of the mine, and they fill a bag with coal, and they throw it on their shoulders, and they carry this bag of coal to the top of the mine, and they pour it out. So they bring up that bag of coal, and then they go back down, and they get another bag of coal. And they fill their bag up and they load it up and they go on up. And when they get to the top, they see one of their friends, and their friends say, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm bringing the coal up from the mine." He said, "Well, I'll come down with you." And so the second person goes down the mine with the first person, and they get two bags of coal, and they both throw these bags of coal over their shoulders and they carry them to the top of the mine, and they do that for a while, and a third person, and a fourth person, and a fifth person, and a sixth person, and one by one, they were bringing up tons and tons and tons of coal from the quarry, and each one had one bag each, one sack of coal. And I was thinking about our life as Christians individually. We talk about value. That every member in this congregation has a value. Each and every person here has a very important part to play. I loved it this morning when Brother Gary was referring to the fact that, you know, God comes to make, you know, the highest the lowest and the lowest the highest. And I love the illustration that he used with reference to a cleaner sweeping. And yet he seems to have more knowledge of the business or of what was going on, because he had access to all the doors and the keys and that kind of thing. And it makes me think about how each and every member of the congregation is so important. Brethren, we arrive in this brand new building. It's new to us. God has blessed us with it. We have challenges ahead. Be ready. They're coming. The storm's coming. And God will use our lives and help us grow and develop through the storms and challenges that we face. It's not whether or not we have a storm or a challenge, but it's how we deal with the things that we deal with. And I want to refer, and this was the reason that I came to this passage again in Malachi chapter 1. I love looking in the Old Testament, and I long for a time when we get to do some good studies, some deep studies from the old passages. You know, Malachi, he was the last prophet before God sent John the Baptist. So, you know, that's roughly about 430 years before Jesus came. There's this man called Malachi. Now, Malachi means messenger. That's the name of this prophet. That's the idea of it. A messenger, similar to a word of Malachi, which comes up with the word angel. And so he had a purpose. God had a purpose with this man's life. And back in Nehemiah, we see how it's recorded of the accounts of the sins of the world and the state of the world. Way back in Nehemiah. And here we see, even in Malachi, these same things are going on. And to this day, these sins remain. But what it is this, that God has a purpose for you and for me. Just as he had a purpose for Malachi, and just as he had a purpose for others. And whatever that purpose is, he wants you to take that person like a sack of coal. And he wants you to bear that weight of that task that he has given. And he wants you to fulfill it and see it through. He wants you to be a worker for him. And so this congregation is about each and every individual. You know, we all have a responsibility. We all have something to teach. We all have somebody to tell. When we depart from this building today, whatever time God wills us, that is our opportunity to go out and say, hey, I'm going to fill this bag off and I'm going to carry this load and I'm going to take this with me. Now in Malachi 1 and verse 1, it says, when we read the passage, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And you see, it means to lift his voice to Israel. Malachi's task was to lift his voice to Israel. That was his task. We think of burden as often things that we don't want. But this was the task. And prophets, when you look in the Bible and when you look at prophets, prophets will always speak about a burden that God has put upon their hearts. In other words, these burdens aren't things that are burdensome to the point where you just think, you know, like you've just got this heavy load and you carry it. These are things that they want. These are things they yearn for. These are things that they desire. They have a burden in their heart for the kingdom of God. We should have a burden in our hearts to make a difference in this world that we live. We should have a burden in our hearts, husbands, to be the best husbands that we can be. We have to have a burden in our heart to be the best fathers that we can be. That we can be the best leaders that we can be. Our sisters to be the best mothers and wives. What an amazing gift that God has given any sister in the body of Christ. What a responsibility and what a blessing. And why I'm so thankful for the sisters of this congregation. I'm so thankful for your example and for your love for your children and for the work that you do for the kingdom. You see, if you have no burden, you're probably serving yourself, because we haven't got any load for anything else. There isn't anything on our hearts for anything else. In other words, if we have no burden for God, then what we do is we just have ourselves to please and take care of. In other words, we're seeking our money. We're seeking our power. We're seeking our praise. And we are seeking our honour. And that, brethren, is the world's way. That's the world's way. You see it in your workplaces, people fighting for power, fighting for position, fighting for control, fighting for authority. But we as Christians, you know, it should be different, because our burden should be for God. You see, we want to be fighting for the kingdom. We want to be serving our great God. We want to be teaching the gospel to everybody we meet. We want to be the person that stands in the corner shop and tells the person who serves us about Jesus Christ. You see, these prophets had a burden, and they all burdened. You know, one of the things they burdened for? Holiness. They burdened for holiness. You know, sometimes we think about burdening for things, but what about for ourselves, to seek holiness, to seek this best way of living? Each also had a different burden in relation to things that were given. And I ask you this question for you to ask yourself. What is your burden? And I'm not talking about something that you've got to struggle with. I'm talking about what is laid on your heart and you think, oh, I'm going to work with this like I'm carrying a sack of coal out of the quarry. I am going to carry this load and I'm going to serve my God. And listen, I take this strain, I take this effort that it takes. A burden is a weight or a load on body or soul. And we often think of burden as physical, but what about the spiritual? Are you burdened in that way? Do you have that attitude of wanting to be the best that you can be? You know, it's not something that's based upon gain and salary. The burden that we have for God is based on giving Him glory and honor and praise and worshiping our loving God in such an amazing way. You know, in John chapter 15, Jesus speaking, he said this in verse 16, "You did not choose me, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should be made, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, brethren, sometimes we think we choose. We've been chosen. In what way? As Christians, we have been chosen as Christians. When we become a Christian, we are taking on what God has chosen for us to take on, the lifestyle. And so we are chosen by him. And all of the things that we do are to set out in order to bear fruit for him. Now, we live in a world where we want to bear fruit for ourselves. You know, what's in it for me? And we go to work for a salary. You know, we do things sometimes to benefit ourselves. But what about the Word of God? You know, we can be burdened in relation to all these physical things. But what about our burden to him? What is laid upon your heart? Remember, he says, Jesus says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And so how do we bear fruit for him? How do we give him the glory that he so much deserves and so much should have? Back in the passage, in verse 6 of Malachi chapter 1. And I want you to notice something here. In this passage now, as we are reading this, the Lord is speaking to the priests. That's who he's talking to. So here in Malachi, the Lord speaks to the priests. And so back in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, the son honors his father, and the servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You know, many leaders today lead the church to sin. It happens. Men leading people astray. And here we see the Lord speaking to these priests, these men who are supposed to be leaders. And he records the fact that he was a father who realized there was no honor for him. There was no reverence for him. He says, you leaders, you priests, despise my name. You know why? Because the burden they have is for themselves and not for God. You know, from time to time, prophets would come, like Malachi, and they would go to speak to the leaders. They'll go and give them a bit of a message. You see, the leaders should have had a burden for God. And so the leaders were accused, the prophets, or they would accuse the prophets of false teaching because they don't want to hear it. When you go to someone and you say, listen, you're not doing the will of God, you're not serving God, you have a burden for yourself, you don't have a burden for God. You have no reverence for him, you have no respect for him, you don't appreciate him, you don't love him the way that he deserves to be loved. You want to do things your way and not his way. And there these prophets go and tell these leaders, and these leaders accuse the prophets of false teaching, because they don't want to hear. You see, the prophet proclaims the truth and he offends the leaders. And the church today, if we're not careful, can be led by compromise. In other words, what we can try and do is please the crowd, please the people. So I don't want to say anything that's going to offend anybody, because they may not come back, or they may not like me, or you know, they may not be happy. Brother Gavin will tell you, as a preacher, myself as well, you know, that sometimes the work that we do doesn't make you necessarily a popular person, because sometimes you have to say things that people don't want to hear. But that is a responsibility we have, because the church cannot be led by compromise. The church can only be led by the will of God. And when these prophets like Malachi went and spoke to these priests and passed the message on from God and said, "You men, you leaders are selfish and you are leading God's people astray." He says, "You fellows are supposed to be leaders. The Lord says, I am your father. The Lord says, I am your master." And they were only concerned about themselves, because their burden was incorrect. It was wrong. No respect. They cared more for the rich and their own selfishness. And the Lord says, "Where's my honor?" And the Lord says, "Where's my reverence?" You see, one of the things about God is God looks in here. God knows our intentions. God knows our minds. He knows what we are thinking about. We can hide things from each other, but you can never hide them from God. He will see, and He knows what's in your heart, and that is why we say that we have to no longer conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to change our minds because God sees our minds. We have to change our hearts because God feels our hearts. Like we can feel the physical heartbeat, God can feel the spiritual heartbeat that comes from within each and every one of us. And so therefore, we see these priests as Malachi goes to them. And listen to this, it says in verse 7 to the priest, "You priests, you offer defiled food on my altars, but say, in what way have we defiled you?" How many times do we deny God and offer Him things that are unacceptable? And then say, when someone may say, "Hey, you are not giving God honor, you're not giving God what He deserves," what do? We turn around and say, "Well, in what way? In what way have I defiled my God? In what way have I sinned against my God? In what way have I shown a lack of honor to my living God?" And that was what these priests did. Because their hearts and their burden was for themselves and not for God. And so He says, "You defiled my food on my altar." And say, "In what way have we defiled you?" By saying, "The table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he be accept your favorable?" Says the Lord of hosts. These priests in the old law, under the old law, they would make an offering, an animal offering. And what does God expect from His people? God expects the best. And so they would take the blind animals, or they would give the lame offerings, an animal that is not really of any value to them. And so they would sweep up this ill animal, or this animal that was lame, or this animal that had weaknesses, and they would leave the best animals in their fields. And they would go and offer these animals to God and say, "Here's my offering, God." And the prophet says, "You have defiled the altar. In what way have I defiled you?" Brethren, in what ways do we give God insufficient? And I'm not talking about the collection plate. I'm talking about our life. I'm talking about what we give to God. What is on your mind on a Sunday morning when you're coming to worship? What is on your mind on Sunday when you're sitting in worship? What is on your mind while we're singing the hymns of praise? And when we are worshiping our holy God, are we giving Him our best? What about in the week, in our workplaces? Are we giving him our best? That we can see an example here where he says, listen, I tell you what, that sacrifice you just laid on the altar to God, you go and take it to your employer, your boss. Give it him. And see if he would accept the meal that you have just given to God. And sometimes we give more to the world, the higher standard to our employers and the lesser portion to our God. Where God comes second in line to the world. And we have to be careful. Defiled sacrifices. The leaders wanted to honour from people, but they didn't honour God. Leaders wanted authority over people, but didn't want the Lord to have authority over them. Again, we touched on this morning in class. You know, where is our position? Here are these men seeking the praises of men, seeking the power of men. You know, let me give you something here. Don't expect respect from your family and friends if you don't respect God. Don't expect respect from anyone who knows you bear the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. Don't expect respect from anyone who knows you're a Christian if you have no respect for God. And so, I urge that we change our mindsets. Because the priests sacrificed blind and crippled sacrifices. The Old Testament law stated, bring the very best to God, and they brought the scrap. They gave him what was of no value to them at all. That was no sacrifice to God. What should I give? Give your life. Your whole life. When we give our life to Jesus Christ in baptism, when we confess him as Lord, and when we give ourselves to him in baptism and are added to his church, we give ourselves to him, all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. My life is his life, and I will live this life giving glory and honor to him. Because my life is a living sacrifice that should be holy, acceptable and pleasing to him. And the passage says that should be the minimal part of that. Brethren, let me encourage you to learn to honour God in your life. My life should be God first. God first. Every decision we make, every action we take, every word that we speak, let us remember God first. How do I say this? How would Jesus say this? What is the holy word? What does the scriptures teach me? You see, worship means giving God our best. Now, Malachi was the last prophet before John the Baptist. He was the last one. You know what Israel did? Israel did what they always did. They rejected the messenger. And they rejected the message. And so from the time of Malachi to the time of John the Baptist, 400 years God said enough. No more. No more prophets. And then you know what's left? Judgment. Verse 11 in our passage in Malachi chapter 1. From the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great amongst the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, God says my name will be honored. God speaks of pure offering. Not size of sacrifice, brethren, but the quality. It's not how much we give, but it's what's come from within here. And that is the key to our life. Pure and undefiled. Our worship is not just walking through this door on a Sunday morning. Our worship is every single day of our life. Our worship is in our home, brothers, fathers, husbands. You worship God in your home. You worship God before your children. You worship God before your wife and sisters and wives. The same. In verse 14, what does he say? In chapter 1 of Malachi, he says, but cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord was his blemish. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. If you look in Malachi, seven times the word cursed is used. Seven times. And the last word in the Old Testament is curse. 24 times the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven. That's the one who we serve. That's the one who we serve. For cursed is he who offers a defiled sacrifice to the Lord. Don't promise to give God your best and give him the scrap. Give him your life. Give him the time that he deserves. Give him prayer. Speak to him. Read his holy word and listen to him. Fellowship with your Christian family. Grow and mature. Seek out the opportunities. In Colossians, it said, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. And the Apostle Paul says to the Colossians church, let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Well, you know, the opportunities are things we have to look for. The words, the salt that we use is from the Word of God. And we can develop our lives to be the best that we can be, to give honour and glory to God. Brethren, so this is how I will conclude this message this morning. Leave this building today and determine in your own hearts and minds that as of today, you will ensure that you give your best to a worthy God who deserves the best that we can give. Let that be the burden that you carry in your hearts. Let's rise as we sing the invitations. As they arrive, Father, we pray that you'll be with them and grant them a safe passage. And we pray that as Dean links up with our youth leaders, between them all, they can help to encourage our young people. Father, we want to remember the builder who's been working on this building, and to hear the news of his daughter Jess passing away at such a young age through cancer. And Father, we simply ask at this time that you'll be with him and his family, and help them to have the peace that they need. Father, we pray for an opportunity to speak to them about your word. We know that you have the answers to life, and we pray that that opportunity will come. But we ask that you'll be with them, watch over them and protect them. We think of those of our assembly who are away. We think of Sister Laverne at this time as she has travelled to Peterborough. We pray that you'll be with her as she spends time with family and friends there, with the church there. Just bless her and keep her safe. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your son Jesus. And so we leave this prayer in his most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, we have a few notices just before we disband.